All right. Let's take a look at, I don't know why that's on. Let's take a look at 1 Chronicles. Chapter 22. There we go. Can you guys see that? I don't know if you guys can see that. No, I am not sharing my screen for some reason. Let me see. Try it again. There we go. Okay, let's take a read. And the scriptures there on the screen. You can read your, if you got funny Bibles, you can read your funny Bibles as well. All right. So 1 Chronicles 22, we're going to talk a little bit about the threshing floor and what that means. But the big thing about this one is notice the characters with David and with Solomon. And there's some significant application that I realize and something that's prompting me to do something different as a result of this, as it deals with a parent and a child situation. So let's just read. Then David said, "This is the house of the Lord God. This is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel." And you can see from my notes there some of the things that I mentioned. It's interesting because David is at level 7. He's been humbled. Mm-hmm. He's repented. Mm-hmm. His hope is in the mercy of God. He's seen God because he's seen the angel. Mm-hmm. So he's some things have been revealed to him. That's level 4, Holy Spirit revelation. He's exercised mercy because his focus is on the people and not himself. He's been given additional instructions to go to the threshing floor, which is definitely end time prophecy, talking about the second coming of Christ and the separation. There's a separation there. I did go back and look a little bit further. They did have the farm animals go and kind of step on the grain to separate the grain from the chaff, and then you throw the chaff up in the air. But there's a separation there, and there's judgment there. And he bypasses the judgment. He gets mercy. He gets benefit. And then they have a peace offering. And so now he's at level 7 where he's got restored relationship and peace in the land once again just by following those steps. It is now at level 7 that he goes into this next revelation of, this is where I'm going to build God's house. Mm-hmm. Application for today. Where is that place where God showed up?
The threshing floor.
Where's your threshing floor?
The heart.
Yeah. So it could be your quiet places. Wherever that place is where you saw God move on your behalf. That's a good. I like walking around my neighborhood. That's my threshing floor. My that place in your mind. And sometimes it's not even a physical location. Sometimes it's a spiritual place or whatever. It's that level 7 or that level 4 or whatever, where that's where I am and that's where I meet God. So he moves. So because of the plague and because of this mistake and the plague, worship is different. Worship's going to be moved. Worship's going to change. And I see an application for that today because worship and church has changed. Mm-hmm. As a result of what?
The plague.
Mm-hmm. Does God still show up?
Mm-hmm.
Is he still God? Is there an expiration date on the plague? Mm-hmm. Amen. We ought to be encouraged. Because we've seen this happen before, and there's nothing new under the sun, and our God is faithful. Maybe he's doing something to move the church where he wants it to move, but that's not the focus of what I want to talk about here. Oops, went too far. Let's take a look at verse 2. Oh, and I said some things here in my research. The place where he's going to build the temple is supposedly on Mount Moriah, which is the same place, I think I mentioned this last week, which is the same place where Abraham takes Isaac. And it's the same place, there's another application there too. I know it's Mount Moriah. Well, Mount Moriah was one of the places that we're talking about there, where he built that altar for Isaac. The second place is obviously the threshing floor. So the threshing floor is that second. So there's some history now behind this. I keep losing my place here. Let me just go back here to... And David commanded and gathered together the strangers that were in the land of Israel. So us Gentiles get included in this. And he set masons to hew wrought stones to build the house of God. And David prepared iron in abundance for the nails of the doors of the gate and for the joinings, and brass in abundance without weight. Also cedar trees in abundance for the Zidonians. And they of Tyre brought much cedar wood to David. Verse 5. And David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender. That's for Jalen. What does it mean to be young and tender? Young and inexperienced. And the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent, of fame and of glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death. So before his death, what is David doing? He is preparing for the temple by doing what?
Gathering
things on whose behalf, for whose benefit?
Solomon.
For Solomon. And who is Solomon?
His son.
So he's providing the resources for the son to use to do what? Oh, boy, my goodness, I just said something there. He is dedicating the rest of his life to do what he needs to do to provide the material and the resources for his child, all right, to build the house of God. We're going somewhere. All right. And he's got to do that because what he's saying is Solomon's a good kid, but he don't know about this. I mean, because there's a level of significance, a level of glory, there's a level of excellence that has to be. And he may not know how to do that, so I got to get him the material that will allow him to build a shanty for God. What kind of temple? It's got to be magnificent, so that other countries will look at it and go,
wow.
Wow! It's a wow factor involved. Jalen don't know nothing about no wow factor yet. All right.
He's still green.
There you go. Al said that, Jalen. That wasn't nasty. That was just fat.
He threw him on the bus. No, he
got the microphone. He can hear out. Hey, so, I need the Holy Ghost. It's hard. All right. Verse 6. Then he called for Solomon his son and charged him. To build a house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly, and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build a house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies round about, for his name shall be Solomon. Solomon means peace. And I will give him peace and quietness unto Israel in his days, and he shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. I have some scriptural references here about David, where he desired to build a great house for God. 2 Samuel 7, 1 Chronicles 28. We'll see that in just a minute. And 1 Chronicles 17.
What about 1 Chronicles 13, 5, and 6?
Well, if you got there, that's fine. If you want to read it, you can.
Then David and Israel went to Bala, or Judah also called it. I keep it not to bring back the ark to God, where he bears the name of the Lord. I think you built it there too. You brought it back there.
Okay. All right. All right.
I can't pronounce that word.
Thank you, Al.
K-I-R-I-A-T-H.
And you looking for help from me on that? You see how I'm butchering some of these names? All right, so here's the point that he's doing here. He's giving Solomon a charge. And as I thought about this, I'm like, well, what is he doing? A charge. He talks to him. He gives him a charge. He tells him, I want you to build a house. And then he describes, I wanted to build a house, but I couldn't. So I'm taking on a different role. And then he tells him what the plan of God is for his life. And the plan of God for his life is to do what? Build a temple. Build a house. Why does God want a house or a temple?
Because he wants to dwell with his people.
Because he wants a place to dwell with his people. So he says, build a house.
That's the tabernacle, the dwelling place.
It's the dwelling place. Now, I'm going to scroll down a little bit because there's varying opinions as to why David was disqualified from actually building the temple. It's a man of war. Some people associate it with just the fact that he's a man of war. Some people associate it with the murder of Uriah, Bathsheba's husband. You know, David has some blood on his hands. All right. I don't think any of that is incorrect. I have a different perspective that I hadn't seen a whole lot of people in my commentaries either, but because it's a feast thing, I can see where God needs a level 7 tabernacle rather than a level 6 tabernacle. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. Because in a spiritual application, if David is a man of war and he's the one that builds the temple, what is going to be associated with church?
War.
And what happens in war?
Death, destruction.
No mercy.
So I see it more along the lines of end time prophecy, where level 7 is the tabernacle. We got God dwelling on the earth in victory, and it's a time of peace. Back in Isaiah, it's the lion laying down with the lamb. It's peace, it's prosperity, it's the coming of the kingdom. And he wants his tabernacle to be associated with peace.
Well, you know, chapter 10 to me and chapter 9 also, behold, a son will be born to you, shall be a man of rest. Christ is a man of rest.
Yes.
And then you go down, he shall build a house for my name, and he will be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. You can plug Jesus into that.
And it is. And he and Solomon is a type of Christ in this picture as he's building this temple or whatever, okay, when he still keeps himself aligned with God. When he goes off, then, you know, yeah. That's something different. But now what Roger is saying here is that the temple is associated with peace,
right,
and the peaceful indwelling. So that is the end state. If it's, again, this is just my opinion, if he only gets to level 6, which is where the war takes place, then the end state of the church would be, we just cut off heads. And you can tell when a church is not fulfilling its purpose when you go to church and you get beat up.
Yeah.
So while all these other things in these commentaries that I read I would agree with as far as why David is disqualified, I see it more along the lines of not David disqualified because of something necessarily he may have done. It's just a different role. And God, oh my goodness, God's plan is I must associate future generations with my son, who's a son of peace, so that the end state of this is always to find peace. Application for the day. I got some turmoil in my life, but I know the goal that I'm... Oh my goodness. All right. So the goal that I'm seeking is always going to be peace. Because if the goal is war, then my objective is going to be, oh, you just ticked me off, or you just said the wrong thing to me, so my objective is I got to go to fight. And my objective is to crush folk rather than have peace.
So I have a question.
So a lot of the death under David was justified, but a lot of it wasn't. So if he had stuck in with, if he had stuck with the justified death, do you think he would? If he had kept it in line with God, do you think he would have been qualified?
Good question. I don't know. I think because of the lesson that we're going to get out of this today, I think that God still would have said, this is not for you.
Well, one thing about God is everything that he has created and done is through his Son.
Yeah. Yes.
So that came to mind when you asked
the question. It's a good question. I don't know the answer, but I'm leaning more toward, I think this still would happen because of the lesson that we're going to get out of this today. That's what I think.
And David was still definitely someone within that.
And because I see David as a parent, that is why I see God doing something greater than beyond just what David's doing in his qualification or disqualification. When I apply it to my own life, I thank God in his mercy. Thank you, Lord. I thank God in his mercy prevents David from doing this because he's trying to help us and future generations. All right.
All his mistakes and all that, and he wants, you know, he wants to pass on, you know, the future to his son, you know, and he wants to settle all my mistakes like David did, but you can't carry on and follow God and not make mistakes I made.
Yeah, and that's why, David, I think that regardless of whether he had unjustified, which he did, I still think God would kind of go along this because of the role that David had. Okay. So over here I've got typical of Christ, and I got an application here. And this is where I look at it from a spiritual perspective rather than a worldly perspective, because I think everybody that's a parent here has probably gone through this and given their kids a charge. But if it's like me, it may not have been a spiritual charge. It may not be the same charge that David has given Solomon here. Because when my son was born, and all my kids or whatever, I groomed them or I charged them to do certain things that would make them great in the world. I took my son out and I'm like, man, you're going to be a great basketball player. You're going to be a great athlete. You're going to be a great baseball player. Does anybody know why I wanted my son to be great at those things? Yes. Because I was not able to do the things that I wanted to do as an individual in the field of athletics. So I gave my son a charge. I'm like, I'm going to start you out early because I want you to do those things and achieve those things that I was not able to do.
That's true.
For some of you, it might have been sports, but I would venture to say that 90% of the parents that are in here probably had some charge that you had for your children. And because you want, I think every parent here says, yeah, I've done this or I've been able to achieve this, but I want to groom my children to do more and move beyond what I was able to do.
Because my dad told me that for us even to pass through, I need to go further. Then if I kept going further, and he told me to stop, you went too far.
No. Because the charge that I had for my dad was an enlisted man in the military.
Yeah.
All right? And as soon as I graduated from officer training school,
yeah.
I immediately outranked him, even though I had only spent a couple months in the military or whatever. And he wasn't mad that, in fact, he was one of the first people that saluted me. He was not mad that I achieved it because that was the charge he had.
Right.
I need you to be greater than I am in this thing.
Right.
I need you to have more money, to have more of an estate. I need you to be greater than I am in this thing. Here's the problem. There's nothing wrong in that. But that became my focus.
Yeah, right.
And I named my son David because I wanted him to be a man after God's own All right, but somewhere it got twisted in that, because the focus came from trying to make him a person after God's own heart. The charge instead was, be a good student, get good grades, focus on being a good athlete, come out here and let's do this workout together, and the things of God just, and I never told him, you need to build a house. And while we want all those things that are associated in the world and greatness in the world, we want all that for our kids. Ain't nothing wrong with it. If they achieve all that and gain the world and have we done them a great service? Now, you don't have to answer this. I'm just going to do it. You know, I've shared the Lord with my son, with my kids. They know about the Lord. I took them to church, all that. But you know what? I don't know if I've ever really given them a charge like this. And that's why I think that David still would not have been allowed to build the temple, because this becomes, in God's mercy, this becomes something that we can use in our right now situation. Because if David was perfect, and God allowed David, this is just Chuck talking, and God allowed David to go all the way from 1 to 7 and build the temple, he wouldn't have had a mistake back to refer to that we can relate to. Look at what David says. And again, I got some things here, and I think we can make it to 1 Chronicles 28, because it's almost the same thing. I wrote some quick notes here. And I want you to know something about David here. Oh, how powerful this is. From our studies with David, we know this for a certainty about David. We know he's a man after God's own heart. But we know David is a bad parent. David is a terrible parent. For whatever reason, whether he was too afraid because of his previous sins to keep those rascals in check, he never really disciplines them. He gets mad, but he never puts them in time out. I mean, he just lets things go. He never steps up. David is a bad parent. But here he has the boldness to say, there were some things that I wanted to do, and I wasn't perhaps the perfect parent. But let me tell you about God and the plan that he has for you. And he just kind of walked through this. I wrote some of this stuff down. He says, whether you agree or not, I've been making preparation for you to be able to build a house. Two, I wanted to do this myself, but I was not able to. So you have to carry on the work that I was not able to. Doesn't go into a whole lot of detail as to why I wasn't able to. But he said, I have not been allowed to. Now, this is the great thing about David. His heart's desire was to do this. And we might be able to look at our lives, whether as parents or as Christians or whatever, and say, man, I really expected something greater out of my life than this. But David looks around and says, even though I can't do what I want to do for God, I can do this. And he's happy about that. I really thought I was going to have myself a church with about 500, 600, 800 folk or whatever, and sit back and have myself a little juice up there and just kind of and that was my vision, just be known as a good preacher or whatever. And that was my vision for how I was going to serve God, and that's not happening. But when I look at what's in my future, and when I look at what he's allowed me to do, I'm so happy with what he's allowed me to do. I'm all right.
Well, I'm thankful.
I'm all right. And I'm at peace with where I am in the Lord. I think one of the great, and it's allowing me to understand what God really wants to do with me in my ministry and in my life and those types of things. And so here, one of the takeaways that we get is, if you're a parent and you're in God, you should have no fear of failure, and you should not even have any discouragement in what you were not able to do based upon what you desired. You should be happy that God is going to use you with the resources you have for something greater. And part of that is going to be the investment and the charge that you make for your children to do what? Build a house. I'm getting ready to go to where Ken was talking about last week. All right. Now, after he says, hey, there's a work to be done. Two, I tried to do the work. But I can only go so far. As a parent, I can only go so far. And now he says, now this is the charge. Here's how you're going to build this house. Verse 11. Now, my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou. And build the house of the Lord thy God as he has said of thee. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. Then shalt thou prosper if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and the judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Dread not, neither be dismayed. All right. As we look at that, let's see what he says. And I've got some notes there. The conversation with his son continues. And perhaps we should be saying and hearing the same things. So this is what he tells him. Be strong. Why does he need him to be strong? Because sometimes in the building of the house, you'll get weak. Be encouraged.
Courageous.
Yeah, be courageous. Because sometimes fear will creep in. Be encouraged. Why be encouraged? Because sometimes you can get discouraged and want to do what? Quit. And there's too much quit. So I need you to be encouraged in your marriage. I need you to be encouraged in the job that you got. I need you to be encouraged in those things, because God is with you. And not be discouraged so that you don't leave in what? The building of the temple. Where should he get his wisdom from? Real wisdom comes from God. He says, I want you to gain an understanding. Why is it important to get an understanding? So that you understand how important this is to just obey God. This is more than just obey God because I tell you to obey God. This is, no, you need to have an understanding as to why you need to obey God. Because the secret of your success is not in necessarily the degree that you pursue. The secret of your success in life is not necessarily what you know and what you gain through your education or your accolades or whatever, or your achievements. The secret to success is being aligned with God so that you are building a temple and glorifying Him, and that's where your success and prosperity will come from. Because you gain everything in the world, but if you don't have the peace of God, and God is not in control of that thing, then you're going to be missing out on something in life. Significant. He goes on further. Now behold, in my trouble, I have prepared the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold and 1,000 talents of silver and of brass and iron without weight. For in it is abundance, timber also, and stone I have prepared, and thou mayest add thereto. Moreover, there are workmen with thee in abundance, hewers and hewers of stone and timber and all manner of cunning men of every manner of work, of gold, the silver, the brass, the iron. There is no number. Arise, therefore, and be doing, and the Lord be with thee. And David also commanded all the princes of Israel to help Solomon his son, saying. Now, here's the key here. David is providing all of this because of his natural resources, because he has all this money in his pocket, because he's the king. Does he give Solomon everything that he needs?
In a way, didn't he, if you look back, didn't he build a house? I mean, didn't he pave the way for it? And didn't he set the wartime to get peace and gave instruction? And, I mean, even though he doesn't think he built the house, when you look back, he kind of built the house.
Well, don't we as parents join into the achievement of our children? Even though we didn't do it, they did it, and we take credit for it? Rightfully so. And that's the story of Ruth and Naomi. Ruth has the baby, and there's Naomi's going, hey, I get to hold on to what God blessed you with. We get credit for that. Amen. But did he do everything that Solomon needed?
No. He did everything that was humanly possible.
Okay. There's an application here. What happens if David did everything and Solomon had to do nothing?
Oh.
Okay. Would he appreciate the...
No.
You said that quick, like he knows what you're talking about.
Yeah, he could have all the time.
He did as much as he could, as much as the Lord would allow him to do. But he still tells Solomon, because I set you up this far, it's time for you to get up and finish the work. Don't we tell our kids the same thing?
Jimmy and I told ours four and no more.
Four times come back home?
Four to college and no more.
Yeah.
That's what my dad told me.
There's a danger if we do everything for them.
Yeah.
They won't appreciate the struggle.
Yeah.
It's bad if, and here's what I think our kids need to understand. You may not agree, you may want everything on a silver platter, but God don't work that way. And I'm going to give you what you need as much as I can to set you up. But there comes a time when, alright, Jalen, there comes a time where you got to rise up and look at how God has blessed you, and instead of having a pity party, because I'm not picking on Jalen, I'm just talking.
Yeah.
Because I got some kids that might say and do the same thing. I know some people. Not my kids necessarily, but, you know, just I should have had this, I should have got that or whatever. Hey, I could say the same thing about my dad. There's a lot of things that I think he should have made better preparation for.
But he did what he could.
He did what he could. He did what he knew to do. Mm-hmm. And because of that, instead of focusing on what he didn't give me, mm-hmm. I celebrate the fact of what he did give me, because that's what I need to move forward. And when our children don't see what we've done for them to help them move forward, then they'll get stuck in that place. And so David says, let me tell you what I've done for you. Whether you agree, whether you saw it or not, let me tell you the resources that I have blessed you with and how I'm working for the rest of my life to set you up in this particular manner. But there's a work that you have to do as a result of this. And it's not for me. So this has absolutely nothing to do with whether I'm a good parent or a bad parent or whether I've let you down or whatever. We're talking about the right now. And the right now, God wants me to give you a charge and to tell you there's a work that he wants you to do. And while you're doing that work, you need to seek God, know he's with you, obey God, ask for his wisdom, get understanding, obey the plan, and then he will prosper you, be strong while you're doing it, be courageous, and he gives them this charge for the work of the building of the temple. All right, we are running out of time. I got to finish this. And then he adds, verse 18, is not the Lord your God with you? Has he not given you rest on every side? Well, they may not have rest all, they may not see rest, but because of you as a parent, if you're a good parent, there are some things that they don't have to experience. They may be experiencing some things, but they could be experiencing a whole lot more turmoil had it not been for what you have provided for them. Now set your heart and your soul to do what? To seek the Lord your God. Arise therefore. There you go. There's some work you got to do. Arise therefore and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God. Do what I, was not able to do. Or not allowed to do. Take that thing further. To bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God into the house that it is to be built to the name of the Lord. Why build it? Because God is with you. Now, I got some applications. I'm going to put these notes out here, but now let's get back to what Ken is talking about. So what does this have to do with Jalen? And what does this have to do with anybody else? And what does this have to do with our kids? It goes back to the question that Ken said last week. Where is the temple now? And if you look at Ephesians 2, 19 and 22, if you look at 1 Peter 2 and 5, if you look at 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18. If you, and somebody turn to 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17, you'll find out where that temple is. Now, once we find out that the temple is in us, what is the charge for our children? Because we're not actually asking them. Jalen's out here probably going, what's he talking about? Am I supposed to build? Am I supposed to build a physical building? No. What is the charge that we should be giving our children as a result of this lesson?
Well, they have to build a temple within themselves.
They need to build themselves up in such a manner that God dwells where? In them. That's the charge that I have not, I think, adequately given my kids. Yeah. I'm just talking about me. I told them to do good and to achieve all these other things. I told them to be Christians or whatever, but I have not told, I told them, hey, you need to go to church. But my focus has been on them, hey, are you going to church? But God never tells him to get on Solomon about going to church. Not that they shouldn't be going to church, that they should. He says, I need you to build a house. So here's the charge for us as parents. We should be telling our kids, you need to do the work to make sure that you are a dwelling place for God. I haven't done that. Why have I not done that? As good, I have not done it like this. I wonder why. One could be fear. But my kids are grown now, so I'm like, you know, they ain't hardly going to listen to me. Maybe discouragement. I don't know what they're going to say. If I tell them this, are they going to say, well, you know, we don't want to hear what you got to say, or, you know, maybe I'll be discouraged by going to them. I didn't know before, which means I lacked understanding. My dad never had that conversation with me because he didn't know to have that conversation with me. But I know better, so I can do better. How can I get around that? Even as I'm looking at this lesson, there's a little bit of reluctance. I'm just talking about me. To reach back out to them and say, hey, I want to sit down and talk to you about this, that, and the other. And it just even sounds kind of, you know. And be honest with you, I ain't too excited about doing this. But then I'm looking at the charge that that David gives them, that David gives Solomon. Now, how can I give them a charge if I don't do the same thing? Uh-oh. So maybe I need to be strong. Maybe I need to have wisdom. Maybe I need to be courageous and not have fear. Maybe I need to be encouraged and not discouraged. Because while my kids know a whole lot more than I do, they don't know this like we do. And I'd venture to say most of the kids that we know don't realize that while prosperity and money and bank accounts and houses and fame, that's all great. I don't have a problem with people pursuing that. And they should. But the greatest thing you need to be doing is building a place for God to dwell. And if you build a place where God dwells, David said to his son, and God will prosper you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and the money and the bank accounts and whatever it is that you will be added unto you. I don't need my kids to be rich. If they are, that's good. They may break me off a little something. But I would much be more celebrated if they were good parents and that they would charge their kids to build a house and place for God. All right, 10:31. Give me 4 minutes and I can get through Chronicles chapter 28 because it's kind of sort of the same thing. David assembled all the princes of Israel and the princes of the tribes and the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by course, and the captains over thousands and captains over hundreds and the stewards over all the substance and possession of the king and of all his sons with the officers and with the mighty men and with all the valiant men unto Jerusalem. Who's he talking to? Everybody that has responsibilities and position. So this ain't just about David. He's talking to everybody that has some response. And everybody in this room has they're responsible over something or somebody. Then David the king stood upon his feet and said, "Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in my heart to build a house for the rest of the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of my God, and had made ready for the building. I wanted to do something. I was getting ready to do it, but God said, you can't do it. But God said to me, thou should not build a house in my name, because thou hast been a man of war and shed blood. Howbeit the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. He hath chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he liked me to be the king over all Israel." So if you've got some baggage as a parent, here's a neat thing. Hey, I have not probably done all the things that you thought I needed to do or that I wanted to do as a parent, but let me tell you something. As I look at my life as a parent, God has blessed me. Let me tell you what God has done for me in the abundance of my shortcomings. I'm in a good position with God. You can't deny that. And so now I have a right to share what God has shown me in his mercy. Because it's not how you start, it's how you finish. Let's get to the next scripture. "Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God." He's talking to Solomon in the midst of the congregation. And he's telling them how Solomon has been commissioned. All right. God has, and this is what we need to be telling ourselves and our daughters. God has commissioned you to do. Do you think God has commissioned our children to do anything different than what he's telling Solomon? When you see yourself in the story, I think I want to be telling my children the same thing that I'm telling. "Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess what? This good land, and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever." This is something that should be coming. This is going to be a new tradition in my house. Because my dad didn't know to tell me this. And now, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the Lord, the God of thy father. What's Solomon supposed to do? Know God. Is it enough for me to know God for my children?
No.
They need to know it for themselves.
Chuck, I think David preached a powerful sermon there.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, how many times did he say God? He was training his child up in the way he should go. Not just his child, but everybody.
And that's why this is applicable for us. So now it's no longer about me as a father. It's about God and my standing with God. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thy God of thy father and serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind, which means it's not about me dragging you to church. It's about you being wanting to go. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts if thou seek him, which means you can't play with God. He will be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord has chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch and of the houses thereof and of the treasuries thereof and of the upper chambers thereof and of the inner parlors thereof and of the place of the mercy seat and the pattern of all that he had by the spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord and of all the chambers round about and of the treasuries of the house of God and of the treasuries of the dedicated things and for all the courses. And he just goes through for the sake of time. He just goes through. There's a pattern. And he tells him that the pattern was given to me by Lord, by God. All of this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. And I'm not going to finish this chapter. I mean, I'm close to finishing it right now. But the pattern of the house has not changed. And he got that revelation from God. And what are some of the things that we can give our children? Well, we can give them the steps. Mm-hmm. Because that's the pattern. And nothing has changed there. This lends to a little bit of a larger discussion that we'll finish up next week as we get ready to go into a new hero. I think we're going to do Abel or whatever. Or I can't remember the other guy's name now.
Cain.
Now, well, we'll talk about Cain, but it's going to be more on Abel. Yeah, but we'll talk a little about Cain or whatever. Enoch. Enoch is another one that we'll talk about. And we'll just kind of move through this quickly. So the study's going to move a little quicker or whatever, because these were heroes. I mean, David, you know, this is how thick the David, you know, the David study was. And we're just kind of celebrating this, but bless you. But we want to make sure that the pattern of the house still comes from the Lord. So I don't know about you guys. We'll finish this up, but some of the things that I got out of this was some quick notes. Don't focus on what you couldn't do. Praise God and rejoice in what He has allowed you to do. What I could not do, my children should be able to complete. But there's a charge that we need to be giving them. And we need to be telling them the same thing. God be with you. He won't fail you. He's not going to run out on you. He's going to provide you helpers. He's going to allow you to finish. But you need to, in order to get those results, you need to be strong. You need to have courage. You need to be fearless. And you need to be encouraged and seek those wisdoms. Jalen, how many parents do you have?
One.
Yeah. See, he's young and tender. Because of this lesson, Jalen has one parent. But he's got, I bet you he's got everybody in his class that hears this lesson today and knows that we're supposed to, because he's been faithful, he's been coming, we're supposed to be doing those things that set him up, all right, to be able to build a house for God to dwell in. Son, do you understand that we're giving you a charge that you are supposed to build a house for God to dwell in? Do you understand that God has a challenge for you? You may be great, that's fine. You may be something extraordinary, that's fine. But God's purpose and plan for your life is that you build a dwelling place where he can live inside of you, and people will look at your life and go, wow. And that is our job, even though we can't do that, it is our job to invest in you and to set you up and to guide you and to encourage you and to tell you to be strong and be courageous, because there's fear out there. Be fearless and to be encouraged. And sometimes you can be discouraged. Even in the place where you're in right now, you might be discouraged, want to quit. But when you understand that when God is with you and he's giving you a work, you're supposed to be a house where he dwells in, and he will make you great. That's your charge. And our charge as a class is to help you make us proud and bring God glory. I don't have anything else. I pray hard for Mandy because I love Norm. And I love God. And somehow, some way, I want something to be built so that God is occupying that thing and we just see the glory of God, everything that happens. I was teaching your boy how to shoot that jump shot. Good gracious, my, it was more than just me wanting him to be successful. Now I just ask you guys to pray for me, because somehow or another I gotta get this message over to my kids.
Don't we all?
And I'm thinking about just going on and just in this recording, just say, hey, look, you want a Christmas? You want to give your dad a Christmas present? Listen to the lesson. I give you a charge. Build a house.
Chuck,
yes, sir.
You know, I think you're doing a good job with your children. Your children are paying more attention to you than what you think. And I say that because the way my father dealt with me. My father was born like in 1902, somewhere around in there. And I don't know, I guess the way he was raised. My father never, ever told me that he loved me. I never heard that part from his lips.
Yep.
He didn't tell me, but he showed me. And it's some things he said to me kept me safe throughout my life. One of the things is, he said, if you go out here and get yourself in trouble, get locked up, don't call me. You know how far that went with me?
Yeah.
To this day.
Yeah.
I never got locked up with the prison.
Right.
I never went to prison. Because of what he said to me. And every time I went down that path, I thought about my father. But for all of those years, I always wanted to hear my dad say that. But he never said it. But he showed me that he loved me. He took care of me. He kept a roof over my head, food in my mouth, and made sure I had everything else I need. But, you know, that's why I say that your children are listening to you more than what you think.
Well, the thing about it is, and we got to get ready and go, but the thing about it is, as a parent, there's always this thing where you want to be better than your folks, and you want your kids to be better than you. And
yep.
My dad couldn't tell me, but I'm better than my dad, but it's all right that I'm not perfect, because now I'm going to give you a charge to be better than me.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else before we get ready to close this out? We're already behind, and I apologize for that. But we'll wrap this up, and we're going to work on something new next week.
You did good.